Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see in here, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord see.
Your story, babe.
feel good this morning. That music sound real good. Wake me up, James Brown. Wake me up. Because I tell you, that water wanted me, that rain wanted me to just lay there, y'all. I laid there listening to God's work last night and watching them trees swing back and forth and praying that none of my trees fall down in my backyard. Woo! But I tell you, God, we have an awesome God, I tell you that. And, you know, I always tell y'all about nature. You know, coming out this morning, for those who are in the city of Chicago, it's dreary, it was raining, like, but it just felt so good. I used to walk in the rain and hold my head up and let the water just hit my face. I used to love to do that. But so we got our rain out today, y'all, and we're so blessed. And all our prayers are going out to the people of Mississippi. I've been trying to find the president of the Mississippi Club, too. So if somebody know the president, their number, give me a call, because I wanted to call them and see what we could do to help. The Mississippi Club, they used to have a club called the Mississippi Club. And when I was in, I used to go to the club where they danced. But they had a whole organization. So I want to see what the Mississippi people are doing. So if anybody out there know the Mississippi Club president, or you are the president and you listening, call Justin and give me your number so I can have it. I do think that, you know, I'm listening to all this stuff going on and all this hatred and stuff going on and everything going on. You know, to love black folks and to be proud of being black don't mean you hate anybody else, because every ethnic or every group should love themselves. If Harold said you don't love yourself, you know, how can you love somebody else? That don't mean that you hate somebody else because you love yourself. And we got it mixed up, y'all. We think that to love ourselves means we got to hate somebody else, or we just got to hate. And I'm thinking about all of those folks down in Mississippi who don't have any place to live. I know some folks who have family in Norfolk, in Mississippi, who lost everything they had. And I don't understand. They was talking that stuff. The first thing that went down there that I saw went down there, well, I think it's called Merck Purse or something, Billy Graham's son. They was the first one down there. Samaritan Purse. And I saw all of the national white folks organizing to get to Mississippi. But I also know in the South, the black folks was mobilizing and organizing to help the Mississippi, Alabama people out. But I'm listening to all these folks who talking all this stuff, and I haven't said none of them said we're going to get mobilized and we're going to go help those people, our people. No, we too busy hating, and all la. And it's so funny because one of the things I found out that those people who the people who always talking about black really ain't black if you follow them, but talking about hate. And hate, it's like racism and hate and all that stuff is a organizing tool for them. It has nothing to do with, all you got to do is follow them up. And usually the ones who stuck up under them think they're the blackest ones, which is not necessarily true. So my heart been going out. I know when it first happened, I called my pastor and told him we had to pray for the people in Mississippi. That's before I saw level devastation. And now you got Arkansas, you know, and I'm not sure whether these black ministers, national, all these organizations, the black ministers have anything set up when something happened, they can hit the ground helping. I don't know that. I don't know, and I'm not going to talk too much about it, but, you know, the reason you got all these little towns and stuff in Africa is because everybody want to be a king. So they set up all these different little towns inside Africa. It's really funny. Not funny, y'all. Not really funny. So my heart goes out to the people in Mississippi because they were strong. They were really strong. People who really fought very hard for our people. And a lot of the things that you are enjoying today is because the people in Mississippi and Alabama and other places, they fought for you. And, you know, give me some water, too. Thank you. They fought for you. Thank you so much. And y'all had to call Justin to give me my coffee. I had it on the other side of the table. I need this coffee, y'all. This is my choice of drugs. But, you know, to just, and those are some very God-fearing people. And as I was watching them, they exemplify what black folks have been in this country until other folks stepped in front of us. Do you know how exceptional they are, how they're moving and how they're going to rebuild? That was so, to see the people talking about, thank you, the people talking about how one man said they went in the closet, and when they came out of the closet, it's like God had wrapped his arms around it. And they were safe. The thing of God that was in them, and, well, we're going to have to do what we heard, and we can move on, and we're going to do that. That's the spirit. And it's really not good. I remember when the hurricane, the storm tornado was in Pensacola in Florida and in Alabama, we organized a whole, some of y'all probably brought some stuff. We organized a whole everything. We went in medical stuff and food and ice. We went down to Jackson, Mississippi, and we went to Alabama. You know, all them little towns in Alabama y'all probably don't know about, and to Pensacola. And Larry, we took nurses, Larry Huggins, all of them went with me. We took nurses, we took everything. Anyway, it was really something we did out of love. And black folks used to be like that, but right now, you know, until something hits you, you don't see a need to help. And when every time I see those white organization, godly people moving in, I wonder, what are we doing? You know, stuff standing behind something. You know, it's really sad. But let me switch out because, you know, this is like a special weekend for me because not just because Tuesday's election day, not just because of that, but also because the 4th is the day that Dr. King was assassinated. Now, some folks say Dr. King was murdered. Some folks say he was shot. And the children say that. But it's very important that we use assassination because in the assassination, they assassinated Dr. King because of his power and his love for God and how powerful he was in moving things. That, you know, they only kill people that they're afraid of. They kill them physically, politically, economically, and other kind of ways because they fear what they might be bringing. So we're going to be... If you want to call in and talk today, but about that, we'll talk about the, and I'm going to be talking quite a bit about that. Now, let me tell you my pain. I know y'all know I got some this morning. I wish Martin King had called me yet before he came up here. I'm going to call him anyway to find out who told his bud to come up here because he didn't know what the word he was doing. That's how I feel. You know, I saw him standing there. You know, and my heart ached. Because I feel like they be used so much. The Bernice might have a little bit handled on that, a little bit more. But his name is Martin Luther King III, and people have historically used him. Now, I don't call him. I don't care what about it. You know, and with no commitment to what the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and his father stood for and the things that his father died for. But just for the moment. So I watched him, and I listened to him, and I begged the difference. What he tell my dad, what he would have done? No. Dr. King, and I'm going to play that for y'all after this election is over with. Dr. King said, I'm not into socialism, Marxism, communism. I'm into Jesus Christ. Dr. King got a whole tape on that. Because you got to remember, in our movement, there was those people around us who really was trying to bring us over that way. But our faith was so strong in God, very strong in God, that's where we moved. And our movement was always based off of truth. Now, let me tell you something. I remember, maybe it was Bevel said you, maybe Dr. King Bevel, I don't know. Sometimes we'd sit around and be talking. I'm talking about those who was really close. A lot of folks in there was with him. They never got a chance to have those moments. And I thank God I had a chance to have those moments. And we was told, we got to do this, but you can't be emotional. When you're emotional, when you get personal, you get emotional. When you get emotional, you make mistakes. Or it's easy for you to be used and abused. There's been a thing to keep us as a people very emotional, like We can't move unless an emotion, not logic. And, you know, so what's so strange is that, you know, I've been really talking about making sure that our children, is taught critical thinking. Well, you know what's so funny today? Oh, look at that. I just saw that, Justin. You know, my board is back on, y'all. I'm looking. Praise God. Thank you. y'all wouldn't understand. But, I mean, I just looked up and saw, because the board haven't been on in me. Justin and I have been dealing with these names, putting them out in the window. My board is on. Praise God. But, you know, so I think sometimes that our own leadership are not critical thinkers. Some of them have no business being leaders, whether it's elected, anointed, or appointed. Some of them don't even need to be in the pulpit, because they don't move by the Spirit of God. You know, some of them don't need to be leading people, and some of them don't need to be, it's elected, anointed, or appointed. They don't even need to be in these public offices. Cause if you look at how much we've come down rather than still I rise, because we play that old emotional dog whistle stuff. I heard somebody else trying to tell me, well, you know, they using them dog whistles. They said that about Dallas. And I laugh because they're the ones using dog whistles, and because they kind of know how to kind of make us upset. And these people, I was at, I won't say where and who. These people are mean. I was somewhere, and I won't tell you. Some of y'all know where I was because y'all was there, too, at an affair. But anyway, so they were just grinning and talking to me, and this one woman came to me who I know, you know. Sure, she was with Harold, but she wasn't in the struggle to elect Harold. You know, she was, I don't even know what this particular one was around, because some of them I had to deal with. It just so happened that as staff was being put in place and folks were getting places to be, they just so happened to be put in those places. And after Harold was no longer with us, they vanished. I don't know what else they're doing for black folks, but just still making money. And you say, hey, Dorothy, I said, what? We got to put Brandon in. That's why we got to put Brandon in. You know, blah, blah, blah. And they couldn't give me no reasons. And this young black man and all. And I think I said, no, you can't talk to me. You got to give me some reason. So we went around and around. And rather than tell me the reason why they were doing it, she just got angry. And I say, why are you so angry? And she just started talking about Paul. I said, why are you doing that? Tell me why you with Brandon. Well, this young black man, see, that's where you get in the content of character. And we can do this and do that and blah, blah, so you ain't going to do nothing. Why are you coming to me like that? If you want me to support somebody, why aren't you with me telling me what is good and what's this? And it's really interesting. The people who get really mean and mad at you, they have reaped the benefit of our movement and really didn't put nothing in but to reap the benefit. Not all now. I'm not saying all of them. So they reap that benefit, and they just want to keep on reaping. And I take offense. And the reason I take offense to, I'm going to first go to Edmund Pettus Bridge, as I told y'all last week. I saw them folks on that bridge. I saw a couple of the elders that I don't know where they let them got up there that I knew was in Selma. But most of the folks on the front line was not in Selma, have not done nothing to jeopardize themselves, but they was there talking about we here because people march for the dies for the right to vote. Now, I was in Selma, among the first 10 sent into Selma from the direct action staff of Dr. King to work on getting our people the right to representation, as Bevel said. And it was Bevels who put that plan together. That's why I always get upset. That if we could put someone in place looking at our interests, that was the whole thing. We weren't trying to just get the right to vote. We was trying to get representation. And I didn't see any of those folks on that bridge that have done anything except for their own good. Now, the question is, Where is their Edmund Pettus Bridge? Where do they stand? Will they go back next year in March? Or only go during election time? It's like using our stuff and abusing our struggle. And that kind of bothers me, y'all. Only because I had so many friends who fought, or some of them got hurt, or some of them just got messed up fighting for our people to have the right to participate in this thing we call America. And we believed in America. And Dr. King believed in America. Dr. King was trying to make America live up to his creed. He was not trying to destroy America. But they take that stuff and they turn it around. And I just look at them. None of them was there. None of them, bar none. Jesse, all of them was on the front line. Jesse, no, he wasn't there. And I love him. He's my brother. But, hey, he on the front line with his, you know, and then the people who was really a part of it, they had put a line between them and kept them back. Now, I want to know what day and what role did you do with your Edmund? What was your Edmund Pettus Bridge moment in life? Now, here we go with the assassination of my leader, my pain, which pains me not just on the 4th. I celebrate him every day, and I try to teach the children about Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., not know this. And with all due respect to Martin III, people use him. I remember when he was a baby. Martin III don't really know his father because he wasn't there without struggling to be the authority on that struggle without talking to some of his elders. And I'm surprised he didn't check in with me. And I started to call him, and I said, no, I'm going to leave because I was hurt because I felt they were just using having Martin III there for a prop. Because I know that if he understood everything that was going on, he might have stayed out of this mess. And Dr. King, I would not have been involved in this mess because Dr. King did not believe in all that stuff, Bernie Sanders and Omar, that socialism, communism, all that stuff they believed in. And he did not believe in a black front. And he did not believe that other people should lead us. We believe that people could join us, but they couldn't lead us because how somebody's going to come up with your agenda, and that's what have happened. We got wooden nickels and stuff. And that's why black folks, if you look at our station in life today and you wonder why, and you can look, we can't get anybody to address the fact that black children can't read. That could be your Edmund Pettus Bridge. That could be your Rosa Parks moment to stand up and fight for these children right to read. But instead you lie and say it was somebody else's fault when you know better than that. Now, I got this, all this stuff. I hope they don't send me no more. This stuff in the mail. Because they grade you on your voting. They know I've been voting since I was 18, so they can see that. But it was a bunch of lies. And I knew they was lies because I was the alderman during that time and I worked very closely with Valis. And they said that Valis suspended kindergarten students. Now, y'all, don't buy that lie. Which is a bunch of stuff, not the facts, but just a bunch of lies. My middle daughter was with me, and she said, Mom, do this look for me? I saw the same folks doing it. Same color, same thing. And she said, it reminds me of when they lied on us. I said, yeah, but, you know, God, they couldn't move us. God had something else for us. Same color, same thing, because the fear of black folks having 70% of the land in the third ward, owning stuff was very fearful. Moving for the schools was very fearful. So they had to make up all them lies. That's why I'm very cautious about talking about people based on what somebody else saying. Her children got all the land. They got this. Because they were really scared. That was the first time I took a stand and said, we're going to give 70% of this land and build for black people. And some of those same forces that's supporting Brandon right now was right there. They spent millions of dollars to make sure that your community was not represented economically in this city. Now, but they can put together a whole fire are lies. And it's really sad because nobody's really taught. And, you know, that was like, and y'all can, I don't know what y'all say. We all have a right to support. I'm not being on this station. I can't endorse. All I can do is tell you the truth. And you can say what you want to. But we all have a right to look at what we're doing. But we don't have to be lied to. You get mad at each other because the other one is doing this or one is doing that. But that's a manipulation from outside forces. So this particular woman, one of them, I got into it with a bunch of them, but I won't go off. Some of them I kind of changed around a little bit when I began to talk to them because they were just there. And they said, "We need." I said, "You don't need me." "Oh, yes, we do." "Oh, no, I don't deal like that," because you have nonviolent. You know, is an experiment with truth. It's not the absolute truth, but an experiment with truth. And when you're a nonviolent scientist, which I don't think Martin Third understood either, that you don't, your truth is not absolute, but you experiment and you have a responsibility if somebody give you some truth to alter your course. And Dr. King didn't deal in all this racism and lying and stuff that these people are doing. He did not do that, and Dr. King was not close to socialists. And I'm going to play that tape for y'all one day where he talked about my leader, Jesus Christ. I don't need Karl Marx and all them folks. I have Jesus. And some of y'all might remember that and have him standing there with this just because. And I think that we have a responsibility and an obligation to elevate our people. But we don't just do it because of the color of their skin, but it got to be the color of their skin and the content of their character. Because what we have done as black people is to put somebody in place that did not have an agenda for black people. They just had a black face. And then we want to know why there's a problem. Because when you have someone who has something for black people, all hell break loose. They come out there. So then other folks just get scared and they just there. We have no business in the situation we're in today. We shouldn't be like this. If you want to talk about Dr. King gave his life, as I say every Saturday, when Dr. King said, "I've been to the mountaintop, might not get there with you, but we as a people will get there," and knowing and to have talked to Dr. King and around him, Sir Martin, he's a child. No. Dr. King, just in his heart, knew that if those doors was opened up, there's no way that if you became an Oprah, that you wouldn't come build in the black community, even if you want to live somewhere else, or Michael Jordan, any of these folks, or just an elected official, whatever your lot was in terms of economics, that you would build your community like every other person. Chicago is a city of ethnicity, and people call it racism, whatever they want to. But all these folks, whether they Hispanic, whether they Arabs, whether they Asians, they live all over the city, all out in the suburb, but they build communities. But we run and we come back and we treat our own community as if you're a social worker patting somebody on top of the head. And then other folks have taken our pain for their gain. They'll make us feel like, oh, and then it's really about something else. It has nothing to do with us. Because if we're fighting so hard and we've gone through so much and there's been so many folks with us, you tell me why are we the bottom, why are we at the bottom of the tolling pole? Something is wrong. Why, when I raise the question of black people not being able to, black people not being able, children can't read, and how our children are being taken advantage of, and why isn't there a movement or straight to take care of our children? Why? You know, why are we allowing folks to make us turn our back on God, on our churches? Some of the churches might need to be turned back. But why are we allowing that? We know what brought us over. Why are we allowing somebody else to set our agenda? Now, I don't care about to say, you can say, well, no, he is not his own person. And you will see. Well, I hope not. But, you know, and it's really sad because to say stuff like, well, what about something, you know, answer the question. Now, let me say this. Black folks talking all this stuff, the union, some of these other folks that's pushing them and all this. And They told him, well, when you get in trouble, just holler about the Republican about this. Chicago is a different world-class citizen city, even though with all our problems we got. And we got to be very clear on that. We are not Seattle, and we are not some of these other cities that those folks have taken over and destroyed, even though we have problems. Don't get me wrong. But there's a difference in Chicago. Now, everybody talking this stuff, Ryan was a Republican governor that black folks voted for because they felt that he was doing all right. You know, he got rid of the people getting that was going to get executed. He stopped that. The death row, he stopped that death row. But then you had Thompson, which, he the one got rid of all the mental institution and stuff and sent them home. He came up with that law to take the mental patient and thought they would do better at home. I found my letter the other day in the flyer. Well, I sent him a letter, and I told him, that's not good. And I said, they're going to drop right on 43rd. So he emptied out the mental patients. Thompson did that, but he was a Republican. The black folks supported these folks. And so was Edgar, because Chicago's so strange. You got a Democratic mayor and a Republican governor, and they work together doing stuff. They always wanted, when the Dalys was in all of them, they never wanted a Democratic governor. If you notice, quietness is kept if you look at it. And black folks didn't fight. They just went on marching in, and they went on and they voted. I'm saying we have to look at things for our own best interest. And if you don't like somebody, you can't hate. And what they have done is they have tried to build a whole thing around hating Vallis. Now, I'm not telling y'all. I can only tell y'all my experiences with this man when I was alderman. And that's why I know when I got that flyer, I was really upset because most of the stuff on there was not true. And they even had to put the Edmund, let me tell you how they would use this stuff. They had Edmund Pettus Bridge on it, and up under there, he don't want black history. But why use Edmund Pettus Bridge when the person who did it don't want it either? Because they don't want an independent mind black people. They want to control our thinking. And when I read in the paper, union said, we put our person as a commission, we decided to stop endorsing people and put one of our own. They said that. Omar and the whole squad, they endorsed this man. Now, my problem is, I have no problem with Brandon. Please don't, y'all. I don't dislike him. It's just the folks who behind him I worry about. My problem is we cannot let Chicago become a socialist town. I'm a Christian, and I've been with Dr. King, and that's why I said, Martin, he must have didn't understand. And some of these folks, I'm going to tell y'all, some of these folks, they eat by the union, and they have to do what the union tells them. That's why you see them standing on the front line doing everything else, because if these folks, if they went against these folks, it's not based off of principle. Even if some of these folks are supporting off of principle, then something else. But why can't you support your candidate without hate? So this particular one got out of my face. I wanted to get deeper with her, but I didn't, because I want to tell her, you weren't here doing struggle to Lupum and all the folks, how we struggled when Harold was in the we was fighting the congressional stuff, we fighting Jane Byrne and how we put him in the Lupums and all. I didn't say that, but it ran across my mind because we're not being correct to say what the grassroots had done. But you don't get in my face, because when you came here, you came from another city for a job, and somehow or another, those people who went somewhere and went to sleep after Harold died, or when our leaders died and they just went to sleep, don't tell me nothing. Wake up. Not woke, but wake up. So I have really a problem about other forces using our pain for their gain. Well, you know, they lynch folks and blah, 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 and then they go into the black and brown thing. Now, I work with all kind of people. Got a lot of folks that's associates and friends. But our fight is not the same as theirs. I was reading something in the paper way back. Last month, well, right after the primary, and they did a whole piece, the Latino community, God, They did a piece about how they were the second largest group economically in this city and how much money they put into the city. And y'all want to still say, put us on, we can't fight without saying black and brown, or brown and black, or somebody else. We can't fight on behalf of our people because there's a fear of fighting for what's right on our own. If you fight for what's right on your own, other people will join you anyway. But they're not going to respect you when they can manipulate you and have you to do. So our pain have been their game. Our civil rights movement, the reparation is the biggest thing in the world now where they're ripping us, playing games. And that's a whole other thing that I'll talk to y'all about another day, because these groups and companies that's responsible for slavery got these folks out here running around asking the government for money because they don't want to pay up. But that's, again, our pain, their gain. The dog whistle. I keep saying, what about the school? When they asked him about the schools, he went all around. He didn't talk about it. You know, these children can't read. They can't write. If you can't read, you can't write. You can't go nowhere, no way. No way. And I submit to you that you got to not think color. You got to think character. Because if you have a wooden nickel and it's painted black, Carol say, don't let them give you no wooden nickel and paint it black, or you go to the store to spin it. You can't spin it, so what you going to do? I don't have anything against Brandon the man, but all of those forces that really think that's behind them is very dangerous. And that's just my feeling, because it's dangerous because they would put all these lies together and play on our minds. So if they're going to do that with us now, what's going to happen then? That's how I feel about it. Now, y'all feel the way y'all want to, and you vote the way you want to. But I got offended with the lies that came over my door. And if you're a Christian like you say you are, you should say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do anything to win. I remember when I was in office, and they sent several people to me. And they said, if you stop this black thing and just do something else, you'll be all right. You don't have to get, because they're coming for you. I said, you don't ask any other race to stop their stuff. I'm not stopping nothing. Well, you know, they're concerned about this land and concerned about this black stuff. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then I had someone else. I met with Lerone and another business person who said, every corporation got this ward on their, Lerone Bennett is talking about, but another business person, he know who he is, have this ward map of the third ward on their wall, and they said, we got to do something about her. Why? And that was because of how we was dealing with repairing that damage, how we was tracking them. And those same forces, I mean, they didn't play. So they'll tell you to play black. I'd have been a wooden nickel if I'd have played black just to keep a job, pull back, nah, 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 nah. And that goes to the same thing that's going on in city council. Half of them folks I don't know. I don't know what they stand for. You don't know. They don't know government. That mess they did the other day, coming reorganizing, they ain't never, they looked like some clowns pulling. I don't know what the rules say, because I thought that they would have to wait till the other council people get seated. So I don't know whether or not the council folks, whether you have to do that or not. I'm going to pull out my rules of the council is old, so I don't know whether they changed them. But that was terrible. That's an example. They were on that organizing before May 4th, or April 4th. And some of the folks are leaving, and other folks cutting deals. And I understand that black folks got the raw of the deals in terms of how they was going to be getting committees, and that the white and the brown people got together, and they was running that stuff. That's what I understand. I'll have more information next week, y'all. And then to make 28 committees from 19, for what? Well, my tax is already high, but to buy folks' votes, you're going to go from 19 to 28 committees. And y'all think that's funny. Y'all laugh at stuff that you shouldn't be laughing at. And it's not funny. We need people in this city and in this state and in this federal government and leadership who understand government. That's why you don't have nothing. That's why your schools are like they are. That's why you don't have anything, because you got people in place that don't know government. And that's why you can deal with Brian, you know, I did a budget. I did something knowing darn well that's that was there was a whole article on that yesterday too in the Trip about all those things, and that was Pretwinkle Group that you voted on. But you know people believe. Well, I did. You know I don't mind. Tell me what you done. Don't lie. Lie to me now. You're gonna lie to me later. But he seemed like a decent person. I believe the folks' forces behind him are pushing this stuff on him. And Martin had no business to come in here, and I might still call him. He don't know what our movement was about. And as far as I'm concerned, they have not carried it on like it should be carried on because he don't know. I know when I was in Atlanta a few years ago, we both were speaking. He got up and he told me, he used to always want me to tell him something about his dad when we would talk. Quite a few years ago, because I would tell him different stuff Dr. King would say. And since they use him, and when Dr. King was assassinated, these same people in America did not take care of Dr. King's children nor his family. And instead, the same people that he come running to were the ones who talk about him on the radio. I really felt a little sad that Dr. King was on display like that. Last thing, and I'm going to try to come take couple of calls before I go off. The last thing is this. I was at a funeral the other day, a celebration, and a minister told me, yeah, this is something. You know, election on Dr. King's assassination day. I thought that. I said, uh-huh. Well, you know, blah, blah. I said, nah, come on, don't bring me that. Don't bring me that assassination date. God didn't do that. That's not true. And let's not, because this is a very holy week. This is Christian Holy Week. We begin Palm Sunday tomorrow, and all he's doing lies and stuff. Don't do that. And when I explained some stuff to him, he said, yeah, that makes sense, don't it? All these preachers, the way they stand, a brother they behind Valis or Brandon, they need to get behind these children. They try to bring them back in church and get them in school, open up their doors and do all something. That's what they need to do instead of standing behind these politicians who have not proven to do that much. I don't care whether you're for Valis or whether you're for Brandon. And you don't need to be standing behind them when you need to stand behind your children. That's what Dr. King would say. I am who I am because of Jim Bevel and Dr. King and that civil rights movement who reached back for the children because of Mrs. Parks and all of those women. You know, Joanne Robinson, as we celebrated black women, all of those women, you know, Miss Carr, who took us as children, and they taught us and helped us be strong. But nope. These folks so old. I know one person, they so old. I'll be 76 in May. They around my age, maybe you're older. Why are you still trying to get for yourself what you haven't gotten now? You know, you need to be trying to get for these children. And God said if you will be, he said, I'll make you rule of many if you be faithful with little. But there's greed. So I'm in pain because the anniversary is coming up, and they're using it in the wrong way, and they're not prepared to stand up and fight for anything else. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON, number 773-591-1690. We're screaming live. www.vion.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. Good Facebook, and we're on Blog Talk this morning. So if you want to go back and get it, you can. But I'm really disturbed that they brought how you bring Martin Luther King Jr. and Sanders in at the same time? We right here at the great WVON. Let me try to take a few calls. Can I take a few calls before I go on break? I'm going to take a few calls. I'm just so excited. I didn't even realize it. Let me go to this first call. Ron.
Boy, I tell you, everything you saying, you would not believe I've read. But let me tell you real quick. It's so ironic. I was on a program yesterday, and I pointed out Dr. King in the book that you always mention, Where Do We Go From Here, Communicate. He said he did not believe in socialism.
Oh, no.
So let's deal with facts. And there's something really disturbing, Ms. Charlie, how they are just exploiting Dr. King. I heard, and you people.
Well, you might know how I feel about it, Ron. If they're going to exploit the man that I love and the pain.
Absolutely. And Brandon said, we're fighting against the same forces that Dr. King fought against.
I heard him say that. That's when I realized, let me on.
And I know you know that's not true. Who is he talking about?
I don't know.
So, okay, that's okay. But MK was even more disturbing for me personally.
What?
Last Sunday, I tell everybody, get the Sun Times. Brandon Johnson said, quote, Chicago public school teachers are best suited and fit to govern. Ms. Tillman, the reason it personally...
if they do the school, they do government like they're doing the school, well, we're in trouble.
Ms. Tillman, and Ms. Tillman, my pastor years ago from Oakdale Christian Church had a dream to open a school. My wife taught black children there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young man that works at in the sales department. I told him who my wife was. He's like, oh, Ms. Chandler. So I don't just believe in this union and public, but to suggest that public school teachers, so that's to dismiss all the teachers.
Well, he lied to. That's why Paul Ballard said, no, I built the school. When he's out, my children were looking up at the cranes while the stuff was coming out. Hey, come on. But it was all torn down when you got there. It's just terrible how they're using it. Oh, I'm in pain because of that, Ron. I really am.
Yeah, all these things are just not true. But then lastly, I look at things and vote on what I agree with. I believe the money, we're paying $30,000, Ms. Tillman, for students. I had to send my son to a private high school, and I had to spend $20,000. The money should follow the student.
Oh,
why should I pay property tax and have, I refused at that time to send my child to a failed system. And I disagree. It was a caller that lived out in Dalton. He came on Pierre's show the other day. These parents, you cannot blame the failure solely on the parents,
right.
Ms. Tillman.
I'm tired of that. And then they don't even mention the teachers. They asked Brandon on one of the talks, on one of the debates, do you blame the teachers for ending the problems that we have in the school? Did you hear that?
Blaming black parents. And this guy that called, I say Pierre, this guy lives in Dalton. I guarantee if he was in Chicago, he would not send his kids to this school. I mean, it's just nonsense, Ms. Tillman. So I know who I'm going with.
Oh, I already voted.
Yeah, well, I know I'm going with $800 million in some more programs that Brandon is talking about. We got to pay for that, Ms. Tillman. I know who I'm voting for, and I'm sure that person is going to win. Have a good day and a good weekend.
Thank you. I'm out. Lord have mercy. Do I have time to take another call, or should I wait? I got to wrap it up. Take one more? Okay, I can take one more. Let me see what Keith said. Hello, Keith.
Yes, hello. Hi.
Hi.
I'm speaking to I hate myself here, unfortunately. A lot of brothers out there saying, you know, they want a job, and here's a brother, strong brother who's asking for a job, a very qualified brother. And I'm seeing a lot of folks hating on him. And
who's hating? Now, wait, who's hating? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about there's a large group for Valis.
Uh-huh.
That I'm hearing from
hating?
Them personally.
Oh, okay. Well, they should
No. What I'm saying, if I may.
You're talking about, okay. Would you, Keith, hold on, because I got to take a break. And I'm going to let you finish your hold on till after the break, okay? Put Keith on hold.
Yes.
Talk of Chicago 1690 review on number 773-591-1690. He's going to put you on hold, Keith. Put him on hold for me. 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.thevun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook and group Facebook. Get your coffee, get your tea. We are also going to talk about Dr. King and his assassination and folks using it. I'm in pain for that. That's not why you died. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Trump to surrender at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. There are extra police on site. At that point, he would be processed, fingerprinted, and his mugshot would be taken. As of now, there's no exact timing on when the processing would take place.
More details are unfolding about a mass shooting inside a private Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. A former police officer who provided active shooter training at the school said quick-thinking teachers saved lives by locking down classrooms. The shooter fired multiple rounds into several classrooms, but didn't strike any students there because the teachers knew how to fortify doors and where to safely place students in those rooms. Victims of the massacre are being remembered.
Our heart is broken. Our city united as we mourn together.
Mayor John Cooper and First Lady Jill Biden among a group of mourners attending a candlelight vigil at a public park in Tennessee's capital. Cooper calling the deadly shooting at the Covenant School the city's worst day and had a message for first responders.
Our city and our whole nation is so proud of you. Your service inspires all of us. You are our heroes. Your bravery will never be forgotten.
Nashville's Black Police Chief John Drake calling on the city to come together.
An extreme tragedy, and this is certainly one, Nashville comes together like no other place to comfort those who has suffered an unspeakable loss.
All of the victims who were struck by gunfire had been in an open area or hallway.
Seven California Highway Patrol officers and a nurse are charged with involuntary manslaughter about 3 years after the in-custody death of a man who was pulled over for a traffic stop in Los Angeles County. 38-year-old Edward Bronstein uttered repeatedly that he couldn't breathe before losing consciousness while officers attempted to take a blood sample. Bronstein was pulled over by police on the 5 freeway in Burbank for suspicion of driving under the influence and was taken into custody. Prosecutors say the officers forced Bronstein to the ground, handcuffed, while pressing their knees on his legs and neck. They say the officers attempted CPR for 13 minutes after Bronstein became unresponsive.
California Senator Stephen Bradford is proposing a bill to create an Ebony Alert system for missing Black women, girls, and youth, similar to Amber or Silver Alerts used for missing children and senior citizens. He says there's often criticism that missing Black women and girls are ignored by law enforcement and the media, so his plan would ensure that this demographic would receive the same level of resources to help bring them home. The bill states a law enforcement agency may issue an Amber Alert after considering several factors, including those who are between 12 and 25 years old, possible victims of trafficking or abduction, or individuals suffering from a physical or mental disability. For more on these stories and international, national, state, and local news affecting the Black community, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to BINnews.com. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
I'm Brandon Johnson. As a husband, dad, teacher, and county commissioner, I know firsthand the challenges facing our communities. I'm running for mayor to make it easier for working people and families to make it in Chicago, to stop the crime that's paralyzing our city by getting serious about addressing the root causes of crime, mental health, poverty, and hopelessness, and to get tough on fighting the waste in the CPD budget. As mayor, I'll train and promote 200 new detectives and hold officers accountable if they abuse our trust. I'll make our public transportation safe and reliable, improve our schools, and strengthen our neighborhoods by investing in the people of Chicago. I'm the only person running for mayor with a balanced budget plan to do these things without raising your property taxes. The only one. I'm Brandon Johnson, asking for your vote on or before April 4th. Together, we can move the city forward and make Chicago work better for all of us. Paid for by Friends of Brandon Johnson.
Alzheimer's is the leading cause of death for older Black people. Additionally, they are 2 to 3 times more likely to have Alzheimer's as compared to whites. This is Dana Devine, host of the Equal Health, Equal Hope show. The good news is the U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently approved a new treatment to target and affect the underlying disease process of Alzheimer's. This Saturday, the Alzheimer's Association joins us to talk about this exciting breakthrough. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZI to learn more.
Peace, Chicago. This is Common. This election is too important for any of us to stay on the sidelines. That's why I'm announcing my endorsement of Brandon Johnson for mayor. We need a leader who loves our city and is truly for the people, all families from all backgrounds, in all neighborhoods. He shows the heart and the vision to bring change that our city needs. And let's build a better, stronger, and safer Chicago. So join me in voting for Brandon Johnson for mayor.
Paid for by friends of Brandon Johnson.
I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I am one of you. Chicago afforded me the opportunity to become a successful businessman. Our children deserve the same chance. I am supporting Paul Ballard for mayor. We have a public safety crisis. Paul will support our police and not defund them. He will provide the leadership to make our city safer. He will ensure equity for every neighborhood and expand economic development. He will support minority-owned businesses and hold the line on taxes. He will utilize his best effort to bring us all together. We have been divided for too long. I know Paul, and he is the right leader for this moment. He will be the mayor for all of Chicago. So please, vote Paul Ballard for mayor.
Paid for by Ballard for mayor.
The heart-pounding mystery, the Tony-winning knock-your-socks-off drama as powerful as ever, A Soldier's Play, held as a masterpiece. Broadway star Norman Lewis commands the stage, while Eugene Lee's performance is nuanced and intense. Breathe slowly. Keep your heartbeat steady. You don't want it to end. April 4th through the 16th at the CIBC Theater. Get tickets today at BroadwayInChicago.com.
Mom, Dad, Sis?
Here we go again.
Why are you in a suit?
Picture, if you will, a world with the best network imaginable. I'm talking about the Xfinity 10G network.
Go on.
Mom, remember how your reality shows wouldn't load with all of us online? Now you can binge. And Susie, we'll have fast internet in the basement.
Nice.
If you have any questions, here's my card.
This is just your name on a gum wrapper.
Introducing the 10G network only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Now through March 21st, new customers can get 200 megabit Xfinity Internet during our limited-time Xfinity 10G network launch celebration for just $25 a month for 2 years. Plus, there's no annual contract required, and you get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com/10G, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to Internet service and devices. Actual speeds vary.
Vaughn TV is celebrating WVON's 60th anniversary in a big way. Enjoy historic documentaries on one of the most iconic radio brands in the country. See how WVON has evolved from the voice of the Negro to the voice of the nation. We've also added new movies and other exciting content for you to enjoy. Vaughn TV is WVON's video streaming network. Watch it on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV Plus, or at VON.TV on any of your mobile devices. Vaughn TV, bringing you culturally relevant content on purpose.
This is P-Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense. So bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, we are the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The whole world needs, oh.
the dark paths that call us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of new safety eager. Let us march on till victory is won.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I tell you, Dr. King, how difficult is these days ahead for us. If you only understood why it was difficult. It's difficult when you talk about what was going to happen to our children, education, what was going to happen to our people. He said, I don't mind, but I'll give my life. Dr. King gave his life. Most of these folks who are talking junk won't even give a minute. He said, I've been to the mountaintop. You know, sometime when we were in our little closed meetings with Bevel and Dr. King and some of the close staff, you know, it took Bevel to tell you about this mountaintop experience. And a lot of ministers might understand it, but half of them ain't been there no way. But there's an experience. When you get that mountaintop experience, that's a whole nother level of spirituality, a whole nother level of being tuned into God, a whole nother level. He said, so I don't mind. I've seen it. You know, I see what's going on. That's that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's a spiritual thing. It's a thing as God created the earth and he made man that a lot of these folks don't want you to believe in. He said, but I might not be there with you, but we'll get to the promised land. He wasn't talking about making honey. And y'all got to understand he wasn't talking about that. Dr. King believed in his heart. How all these folks all of a sudden made it and didn't come back and rebuild community, don't care about our children, don't care about our community, blaming our community, blaming this, blaming, because they're cowards. That's why they shot him in the head. Half of these preachers say, you ain't going to shoot me in the head. I'll blow my brains out. It's some deep stuff that's going on here, and I'm sick of folks using Dr. King. This barrel race, and Martin had no business up here, the third, being used, because Dr. King was not a socialist. He needed to be the same stage with Bernie Sanders and all them folks. Dr. King was not a communist. He believed in Jesus Christ, and it's a very spiritual week. Dr. King was assassinated during the time of this spiritual for the Christian people. And most of them folks don't believe in God. It's 7 o'clock. Wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world, somebody said, well, how you going to be black, and don't go with Brandon? It had nothing to do with that. It's black, is fighting for your people. Sometimes it's content of character. I'm not going with a wooden nickel because it can't spin. So wherever you are, take a deep breath. Come on, Brandon. Y'all take a deep breath out there for him, too, because y'all need to stop being mean. To be with somebody, stop being so mean and stop lying, y'all. Violence people don't be like that. But what I'm talking to right now, come on, Justin, take a deep breath. Black. Come on, two more times. We do the Trinity, y'all. And I love y'all anyway, whether y'all angry at me, because I'm going to tell y'all the truth. Black. One more time, y'all. Black. One more time. Is you ready? That black enough for you?
Am I black enough for you? We're gonna move on up one by one. We ain't gonna stop
believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation
proclamation. His own emancipation proclamation, not somebody else's. It's own. You don't have to lie when you're on your own. When you're on your own, when you're being truthful, when you're with God. You can't be emancipated by God.
Don't let anybody take your manhood.
Ooh.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed.
Not at all.
Of.
Deal with truth, nonviolence, and experiment with truth.
Told a lie.
Yeah. Them same
they
folks.
They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black.
Hey.
It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha!
Uh-huh. Get the language right now.
But I want to get the language right.
And it might not be what y'all think it is. Come on, Dr. King.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful, y'all. That's right here at the great WVON. That's where we at, y'all, in Chicago, Illinois, for those who are listening across the country. Get some understanding here. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us up. You go. We also back on, we on Blog Talk if you want to go back and listen. I hope you got the whole bits of it. It is great, WVON. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. We're having a conversation. But people today don't have conversations. They just argue and fight. Should be able to talk. And like I said to y'all earlier, I'm really disturbed. Yeah, I don't know who. That's just... Woo! Praise God for whom all blessings flow. We getting ready. We're coming up for Christian. This is our holy week. Our holy time starts, kicks off tomorrow from Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna. And we go, we got a whole list of things that our church is going to be doing. Liberty, you can go online and find it. You can watch us on tomorrow, Liberty Baptist Church of Chicago. And we're going to be doing a lot of things. And Dr. King was killed, was assassinated during Holy Week. And I didn't bring this poem that Bevel wrote when Dr. King was assassinated, but I'm going to bring it next week. And I can read it to y'all. You know, he carried the cross for me. That was the name of the poem. And it was really a great poem that Bevel just had to get out of him. And he wrote that. And we don't approve of anybody using Dr. King. Assassination, that's a sacred moment. They're no different than people using Jesus. As sacred as he is in a pulpit and lying and stuff and ripping off folks and not giving them the Spirit of God. But, you know, we're not having, this war is not flesh and blood, y'all. You have to understand, we're dealing with principalities. And there's no difference in to take Dr. King, shed his blood for us, and have y'all to use it to go stand in front of the Edmund Pettus Bridge and talking about this, knowing good and well next year you won't even be there. Bringing Martin Jr. here to stand. Martin, you just don't understand, my son. You know, and when Dr. King was assassinated, these same people who were pushing and our pain their game, they didn't take care of Dr. King's family. They didn't take care of Malcolm X's family, but when it's feasible, they'll holler, Malcolm X, Dr. King, conveniently black. To be black is to be black every day, not conveniently. And to be black do not mean that you don't deal with content of character. And if we're going to be talking about Dr. King, I always understand Dr. King loved America. He wanted to make sure America lived up to his creed. Dr. King taught us that it was Bevel and we were sitting in a meeting. They went over the whole Holy Bible to show us how our Constitution was based off of the Bible. You know, mercy, you know, servant. But we got people who don't believe in God, don't believe in the Bible. They're trying to just totally destroy this whole country. And I'll say to those who are descendants of enslaved blacks in America, you don't have nowhere to go. America is your currency, is your country. Africa is your continent. But these other folks do. So let me go to the first. I'm going to talk to y'all hang in there with me because I'm going to talk to y'all. Kwesi, I'm pronouncing his name Kwesi, to take 1 minute and I'm going to come to the phone. He's doing his Peace and Love Forgiveness program at 3 o'clock today. He's a CSU Central State University graduate and currently nominated to be Chicago Poet Laureate. He advocates for trauma prevention. His family have overcome a lot of violence, and they have created, I'm trying to see, and have created this platform to help black families. Okay. He wasn't scheduled for my program. I'll get right back to him, but I want him to talk for about a minute about today, but he is nominated for Lord Perriette. Let me see. Which one is it, 9 or 10? Okay. Good morning. Hello?
Peace. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You got Ebony actually to get you on here because when I saw what you stood for, I said, okay. And you're from
Central State? Yes,
yes. You're a Central State graduate, huh?
Yes, I'm a Central State grad from the class of 1992.
Yeah, I had 3 kids that come from there, some grandchildren too. Okay, tell us.
Yes, I went to school with both Ebony and George.
And Jimmy, okay. Look, and Jimmy went there too. But look. Tell me what you got today. I'm going to give you a minute because I want to get back to our program. And I thought this was very important.
Not a problem.
I thought it was very important because our children are so important and family is so important. And tell us what you're doing. You also been nominated for the Poet Laureate for this? You've been nominated?
Yes. Yes, which is a position created by the mayor's office and a position I've been seeking since 1997 when Mayor Daley was in office. Mm-hmm. I became a poet because my younger brother was killed via gun violence on the south side of Chicago 31 years ago.
Okay.
And through writing poetry empowered me to write the two men, the brothers Eric Taylor and Jonathan Judkins, who killed Lamont, to make peace with them.
Yeah.
Because when they were convicted in September of 1995, and we received court justice, but I still was not at peace.
Well, that's because you're a godly person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to my brother's grave site one of the very few times that I visit him, and I asked, what am I to do with this pain? I don't want to continue to live with this pain, hurt, and hate, and anger. And so my spirit said, forgive Eric and Jonathan. So I've forgiven them at my brother's grave site, and I said, okay, what am I to do with this now? And my spirit said, right. So I wrote them in prison in October 1995 to ask them their permission to meet them, to forgive them and to move on. And the forgiveness wasn't about them meeting, admitting that they did it, but it was about me healing from the pain of my brother's murder. And so today,
you know what? That's really good in the spirit of Dr. King, because that's what he was all about.
Yes.
You know, this is really, you know, hate is such a negative force. It will destroy you. You know,
it will.
And if
yes,
you believe in God, then you can do that. So it is good to have you on today in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So tell us for a moment. I'm gonna give you 1 minute, and I gotta go to the phone to the phones for other people. But I just wanted people to tell us what you're doing. First of all, when will you know whether or not you're gonna be a laureate? You've been nominated.
I've already claimed it, but Mayor Lightfoot will be making the announcement to the public on April 29th this month during National Poetry Month. April is National Poetry Month.
Well, if you are, I promise you, I'm going to get with Evan and I'll be there.
No doubt, for sure. So what I'm doing today, Sister Tillman, I am doing a Peace, Love, and Forgiveness Forum at the Discover Shine Bright Community Center, 8560 South Cottage Grove. It's free and open to the public. So if you have a young male, 12 to 25 in your life, whether he's your grandson, son, cousin, friend, have them come out to meet me and my family. My family has dealt with gun violence for 50 years. from the death of my uncle being shot and killed on 82nd and Emerald to my nephew who was recently shot twice, survived both shooting, know the shooter, and did snitch on him, so he had to sit. And so my sister shot and killed my nephew's father. So I had to teach my nephew the importance of forgiveness, to forgive his father in death and to forgive his mother for protecting him and herself. So this
you know,
has been
forgive,
a lifestyle.
Forgiveness is in the Bible. Forgiveness is what
yes.
she's about. You know, it's interesting as we get ready to move toward this, our Holy Week, and it's really in the spirit of all of that. I really appreciate you. And what I'm going to do is I want you to hold on, and I want I'm going to let Justin write down the information, and I'll mention it
yes,
again
okay.
before I leave, and in case anybody call. And what is the phone number if they want to get in touch with you?
My phone number is 312-217-7246, and again, it's free and open to the public from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Shine Bright Community Center.
Okay, well, you hold on. Justin, get his number and information in case anybody is calling about it. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh.
My gratitude.
All right. Okay, let me go to Keith. I had him holding. Thank you, Keith.
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh. Yes. Now, what were you saying?
Yeah, I was saying you up there so much.
You know, you got static. What do you got me on? What you got on, speakerphone or something?
No. This is a regular phone, cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
What I see often is often not only towards Brandon Johnson, but to black males in general, there is a resentment and a hate towards them where they don't think that they are competent, regardless of what they do in life, that they are not competent to lead or do or
now, what do you
be
see
a
that?
Major
what,
factor.
What do you see that with Brandon? Because he often say that too, but what do you see that with Brandon,
well, sure.
that folks don't think he's competent?
He participates in government. He knows how government functions, but yet people seem to doubt that. He at one time was a teacher, and people seem to think he doesn't know anything about the Chicago educational system.
Well,
that is very strange. When he taught for 4 years. Now I have volunteered in the Chicago public school system, and I saw what was going on. It didn't take long to see that. If I didn't make a career out of it, per se, but still. Now, what I often also see is that there's a need in our community to have someone who's not of us be in charge, especially, let's say, someone
like.
Well,
wait, I'm going to stop that right now, and I'm going to let you finish, and I'm going to let you wrap up. I don't think that you can't, because we deal with content of character, some people might see something else. We
mm-hmm.
could have, as a people, look at who we think is best, who's fitting the best program without being labeled like that, and I think that hate thing have come on, that if you say, let me question you what you're going to do, then most of Brandon people, they be hateful, Keith. I'm not talking about you. You try to have dialogue, and they go through it. It just so happened that I know Vallis, and I know what he did when he was there. When I get this mail lying about all of this stuff, it kind of bothers me. And I don't dislike Brandon. And I think a lot of us look at him as a son. His those forces that's behind him. That I know about those forces, and I don't think he should have said, "Don't put that out. Those are lies. Let me do that." And when he's on doing the debate, he always say what you're saying. Are you saying that because I'm black? No. If you accept and know who you are, you don't have to raise that. That's all, Keith. And I love you because we ain't gonna fight about this. We just got different opinions. I don't want you to say
right.
just because he's black, that's why they're doing it. I don't know about that. That's not why I'm stepping back.
Well, see, that's not why I'm saying that. That's not necessarily the only reason, but that seems to be the factor. Just as Dallas being white seems to be a factor where he's this and he's that. It's not that neither one of these men are not necessarily competent or know what they're doing. But see, I had many friends in New Orleans, and they I know them. Don't know Dallas, but I know
them.
I got friends in New Orleans too.
I got family in New Orleans.
And they told me about what he did, and none of them liked him.
Well,
I
can't deal with what he did in New Orleans. Some folks liked what he did, and some folks didn't. All I can tell you, Keith, is that when I was alderman of the third ward, and we was working on schools and stuff, some of the things, a lady called me, came by the other day, and she said, "Miss, she rung my bell. Can I talk to you? I want to." And she said, "Please, I said, won't you come on the air?" She didn't want to. She was saying like her son Carl was. Just couldn't stay in no schools. She didn't know what to do. And she wanted to let me know that he's on his way now down to Tuskegee and some other boys from the alternative schools. And she said, I want you to tell people that Diabetes is an alternative school. I don't know, I would have lost my son and these other three boys. I said, well, would you like to come on? She was too shy. I said, well, I will mention that. And I remember when he put together those alternative schools. And I know a lot of young men and women who got saved. All I can say is what he did when I was alderman and working with him, and his word was his bond. I don't know all the other stuff. So when that stuff came to my house about him suspending kindergartners and all that stuff, the people behind Brandon put together those flyers. I don't think he did that, but he should have said, don't put that, it's in my name. There was a very hateful piece of material they sent out. I don't think Brandon put that material together. Those forces that's behind him put them out, because that same forces did the same thing to me.
And I'm hearing about similarly on the other side with Vallis.
Yeah.
Those same forces that are putting out very, very negative things.
Yeah, I'm
about
saying
Johnson.
They got you. Yeah.
But once again, since I have researched these two men, and I see what's going on with Brandon Johnson, I'm obviously favoring him. But I'm hearing from people too often the fact that they need to have someone who's not of this community.
Well, I haven't heard nobody say
charge.
That. Keith, I appreciate
I've
you.
I've heard that plenty of times. Yes.
Okay, Keith, I gave you your time because I wanted to hear you out because I put you on hold. But I have not heard that. I would not let anybody come to me and tell me that. And if anybody is saying that, you should not say that. You should say why you or voting for someone. I just happen to know that I've worked with Paul Vallis, and I don't feel the same way a lot of these other folks feel. Thank you so much, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you now. Mm-hmm. Mike.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Tillman. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing as best I can, and I believe that's great.
It is great. God, if you're breathing out there in that rain, well, if you're in Chicago, that air is so fresh and crisp out there, take a breath. When you take that breath in, know that's the breath of life that God gave you.
Yes. I like to have a little conversation about the values, in a sense.
About the what, sir?
Values.
Values? Okay, you're not very clear. Values, right?
Right.
Okay.
Related to the black community.
Okay.
I heard a poll that stated that there's 20% undecided for the black community and 12% for the white community and 8% for the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be seemingly a very correct and fair poll.
Okay.
And that means it says, well, the 20% undecided is the largest amount over the rest. And
okay.
They could become who would be mayor.
Okay.
And so what is looked upon, period, in selecting the mayor, not to say that people are looking at that, is the next 10 years and the amount of money that's coming down to run this city. So it's about the money. And many sides, both sides, it's about who's going to control the money or manage the money and who will be getting the money.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said it's about the money, explain that to me. When you said about the money, what you mean in terms of resources for the communities? I mean, you have to break it down. I want you to break it. Mike, I'm trying to break it down so my audience can understand, too, because I have a lot of students listening to me. You're talking about the resources for the community that goes to the community, right?
Yeah, the mayor is over all of this stuff. Like, the mayor is over the amount of money that's for the Chicago public school system, even though they want to try to change that process around, you know. But the mayor's over all these different departments and
right. You know, I was an alderman for 25 years, so you're absolutely right. I know that. Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that for the public,
right.
Also, you know, they're not, as far as I'm concerned, they're not thinking, you know, that 20% could come together. You know, you know about the voting block could come together.
Okay, now tell me what your bottom line is, because I want to let you get it before my board is lit up.
The bottom line is, in this world, many people is hooked on the money value, and it's really back to the community value.
Uh-huh.
Back to what's going on in your household, your neighborhood, your block.
Okay.
And so on.
Now,
what we should be focusing on, but now the focus is on related to the money.
Right. What's going to happen to our community, to our schools, the resources for we need is about economics and education. I got you, and we need to focus that. I appreciate you, Mike. Thank you for calling. It's the resources, y'all. It's always about the resources. But then I thank you for that call. Thank you, Mike. This is a conversation, but if y'all call me and be angry and talking stuff, you know I'm going to cut you off because I love you dearly. But it is a conversation. Lewis.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning. I hope you come visit our church during the Holy Week.
I'll try.
Tomorrow we're doing the Palm Sunday, and then next week we got stuff going on.
Okay, Ms. Tillman, this election is about emotion. The reason why they had Reverend King come up and they had it on the 4th of April, mm-hmm. it's about emotion. Okay, now this
had Wait. The 4th, it just so happened by code and by the law, it fell on the 4th. That's not that. Let me just, now I can go with the reason they had Martin come up, but the election fell based off of the code of the city. Go on.
Okay, Miss Tillman, what I'm trying to say is this is about facts versus emotion.
Okay,
and this is why I say this. You say that two principles of a nonviolence is gather your information.
That's the first. The first step in nonviolence is to gather your information. That's right.
Okay, that's facts. Okay, the second one you say is don't fight the individual, fight the problem.
No, that first is a step. You've been listening. The third, now we're going, that's a step. Let's go to the principle. The third principle is that you deal with you don't deal with the person, that you deal with the problem. That's how you want to put it, huh?
That's how I want to put it.
Okay, you got the ninth, the final step and that is reconciliation. But go on.
Okay, that third principle is about emotion. Don't deal with the individual, deal with the problem.
Right.
Okay, now they had a forum, and at that forum.
Which forum? Now they had a lot of them. Which one are you talking about?
The last forum with WVON. The WVON forum that they just had, I think it was Tuesday.
Was that the BEZ? Oh, that was with Channel 2 and VON. I saw the last one they had was with BEZ the other night at the University of Chicago.
Okay, the one they had with WVON.
Okay,
now, if everybody would have been listening, they would have heard that Paul Vallis, he came there with facts. He didn't come there with emotion.
Right.
He came there with facts, and he was rattling off facts. He had the dates, the time, and the event, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they were trying to say, you know, about him closing those schools.
Right.
Okay. Now, Brandon Johnson, he didn't have no facts. He was running on emotion.
Uh-huh.
And
Hello? I'm listening.
Okay. He was running on emotion. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what happened was he didn't do his homework.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Vallis did his homework. He had facts. Brandon Johnson didn't do his homework. The dog ate his homework. And so if you would have been listening, if everybody would have been listening, they would have heard the emotion that Brandon Johnson was using, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was an episode out of a Perry Mason
You know what? But you know what,
scene.
That's
you know,
I watched every debate, and that's kind of the way it was. And he had just started saying, I'm a black man, you do blah, 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 blah. It's like they gave him, it's like these folks that fall back on that. And I was really pulling for him to come on with some. From the first time I saw the debate on NBC, on NBC that Monday, the first debate. From now, he's still, it's like he's dressing for stars. And then also, when you're going to run for office, the first thing you do is pay up all your bills. You don't run. But the teacher that he thought he was, you know, you don't let them come at the last minute saying you owe $4,000 in water bill, this and that. And whoever his handlers was, they didn't do right. They should have made sure that all of this man's bill, everything was paid up so this wouldn't be. Something is wrong here, Lewis.
Yes, and Ms. Tillman, the last thing, if everybody would have been listening, Paul Vallis said he was going to establish an office of black Americans to address the black
He said
agenda.
Black. He didn't say black and brown, did he? He said
right.
The black American. Yes, he did. And let me tell you something. I've never known Paul not to be his word. Folks say what they want to. They haven't worked with Paul Vallis. They said he closed down schools. He did not. Now, Paul Vallis also said that he was going to take some of these schools that's closed and turn them into to deal with these young men and women from 18 to 25 to get them off the street and try to get them some training and some other stuff. He did lay the facts. You're absolutely right, Lewis. Thank you for calling and telling me that.
Thank you, Miss Tilvin.
And will you please join us at our church tomorrow? I know you love my pastor. And I'm gonna
Miss Tilvin, we walk by faith, not by sight.
That's right. That's right. And I'm going to have my pastor on next week, so be sure and listen. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Miss Tilvin.
Mm-hmm. Rosetta?
Yes, Rosita, how are you?
Rosita, you say, I'm fine. How you doing, baby?
Yes. Look, I just wanted to say this and remind people of this. When CORE, this caucus that took over the union, this field full of novice teachers that worked 1, 2, and 3 years, they fired all the black veterans at the union, the teachers, and everyone who made six figures, rehired community people and novice teachers. And that's who runs the union. That's why we have 6,000 black teachers out. They did absolutely nothing.
You're absolutely right.
They pulled the rug from under them.
Uh-huh.
And then
Wait, Rosa. We got about 70% black teachers or less in the schools now, right?
Well, there's 20%, but the union is much smaller. So we have 4,000 left when we used to be 18,000.
Okay, now hold on for a minute. Walk with me. Now, I remember under Jackie Vaughn because I was in office. Jackie Vaughn, they know Jackie Vaughn, trust you. I love Jackie Vaughn. But I also remember when Paul Vallis was in, and we was having strikes all the time because I had children in school. But when Paul Vallis got in, for 4 straight years, we didn't have a strike because he negotiated that contract for 4 years. I remember that. I don't know if you remember that or not, Rosetta.
I wasn't in the system then, but
do you remember that for four straight years?
I had just started. Yeah, I had just started, but I will say this, and people need to understand this. The union must agree. When they closed the 50 schools, they were able to do it because the union had agreed to remove seniority rights
in
the economic layoffs, and that happened twice, once under Karen Lewis, once under Debbie Lynch.
You know, anybody know about negotiation? They know that had to be an agreement.
It was an agreement, and it was an agreement to remove. I'm just saying this. I kept 4 schools open that were black schools, Bigler, Tilt, Marconi, and Boucher, and they were pissed with me.
Mm-hmm.
They were pissed because they didn't want them open.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted those black teachers out, and now they have a lot. And there was a commentary that troubled me that came on WD about black teachers agreed. No, they did not. Uh-huh. They did not agree to any of this. This was done in Springfield.
But that's how they do. Our pain, they gain. They always lie on us. Rose, this is what's getting to me is the lies, not so much anything else. And those folks will lie. I'm not saying Brent also was an organizer for the teachers. But I'm talking about the teachers, these other folks, they lied. When that mailing came to my house, that made me upset. And I know a lot of seniors, older people got upset about that mailing because that was kind of a low blow to stuff. They said Vallis suspended kindergarten students when he was at CPS. And you know that's a lie, Rosetta.
That's a lie. And the MAGA signs, that was CORE. They did that to Boykin when he ran against Boykin, they put out the red signs that Boykin was a Republican.
They sure did.
Those MAGA signs came from CORE. That's from their playbook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so these lies need to get out because we're in trouble. Brandon, and not because Brandon is a bad guy.
It's those people behind him. That socialist stuff, that communist stuff, that's what I'm worried about. When I saw Omar and all them folks talking about we're supporting him, they wanted to come in. That was a danger. Mm-hmm. Chicago, wherever we live, this is still our city. We don't want that mess. And then for them to use Dr. King, knowing what they stand for, and to bring the third didn't know what his father stood for. He needed to study him and stand up. He was used to.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. King said, I am a Christian. Jesus Christ is my leader, not Marx and all the rest of them. That's what Dr. King said.
And most of them are atheist communists down there, and they call themselves socialists, but they're really Marxists.
Yeah, progressive.
They don't believe in
God. No, they don't believe in God. That's right. And progressive don't mean what it used to mean. Thank you, Rosetta, for calling.
Thank you.
I'm trying to let everybody get everybody, whoever you from, then you talk now because this is a conversation. Just know that. Leonard Richardson been listening, waiting for a long time. Leon Richardson, right? Leon Richardson.
Leon Richardson.
Hi, Leon. How you doing, baby?
I am hurt to my heart this morning. I love you very much.
Okay, why you hurt, baby?
I want truth. There are two people from Dr. King movement in this city, you and Jesse Jackson. And I wish y'all had a got together before the airwaves hurt y'all voices.
Well, you know, Jesse.
Been on one accord. Maybe y'all could be on
one
accord.
No, we might not be. I love, Jesse's my brother. And I was Dr. King's field staff organizer. And I remember when Jesse first got on our staff, Clay Evans brought Jesse to us. I helped train him to our nonviolent stuff. So he will always be my brother. It's just that I make decisions based off the principle of something. But sometimes those folks have other relationships with people where they have to do certain things, them unions and some of them other folks. But I don't think he and I would have agreed on this for other reasons, but he know I love him, and there's, you mess with him, you got me, and we like a dysfunctional family. I believe in something else, and I won't let. And even when I was running them same forces, you know, they came, and I remember when his son got with those same forces and went against me, and he and Jackie came and said, we're not in that. Well, I kind of believed that they weren't in it. I'm not going to say they was, but we make decisions based off something else. Jonathan had all them folks that's supporting Brandon supported him, and it's almost like they have to do it. But I love Jesse. You have to know that. Don't be hurt here.
I
don't be hurt. I'm gonna call Jesse today and tell him he done made you upset. I'm gonna tell him to come on over. How's that?
I can't. Please do that for me.
I do that. But
I
just know that
I can't. I came here in 64. I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
I came here in 64. I rode through your ward on the L.
Yeah.
Going to Coca-Cola every day to work.
Yeah, don't choke on coke.
I'm now 79 years old.
Yeah.
I came out of that same killing white folks.
Yeah.
In Mississippi that you had in Alabama.
Well, let me ask you. Richardson, stop for a minute. I asked somebody to tell me, do they know the president of the Mississippi Club? Because I'm trying to find some president so we can get together and try to do something for those people down there. Do you know the president of the Mississippi Club?
I don't know the president of the Mississippi Club, but there's a young man right there, 75th place in Ashland, Deacon Samuel Sutton. He'll run a couple of trucks to Mississippi. But if they is there, if you have
well,
some
I need,
of your
I need to get
meet him.
Can you hold on so I can get my engineer to get something for you? Because I really want to talk because I want to help. Because Alabama and Mississippi gave this country a lot. And we need to be having ourselves. And all these ministers, while they're standing behind these politicians, whether it's behind Brandon or whether it's behind Vallis, they need to be standing behind God and get some stuff down there to Mississippi and Alabama. That's where our focus need to be. So I'm going to see about it. Okay, don't go nowhere. I'm waiting for Justin. Justin, okay, he's going to get you the information, Leon, and he's going to get your number, too, and I'm going to call you back later because I want to talk to Sutton because we want to help, too, okay?
Thank you very much.
And I promise you to call Jess and tell him he better come on over with me because you're hurting. I'll call him when I get off there. I'm going to call his butt. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm about to let Jess know he got this man hard hurting. But some folks have to go with them folks. Some of the folks, when I was in office, God, like Bevel told me, they didn't put you there, they can't take you out. God said, come on, do this. But some of those same folks, they had no choice. When the union all of them said, we got to get her out of here. Because 7030, the land for black folks, and I was hiring people who didn't have to be in the union. You know, these folks going to learn the trade. But some folks had to do it. They have to do it because of their relationship rather than dealing with the principle of nonviolence. That's the question. Pastor Weatherspoon.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
We should follow the leading of Jesus Christ like Dr. Martin Luther King do.
Yeah, you got to stay with Jesus problem. Christ. But them folks, Reverend Weatherspoon, don't believe in God. Them socialist folks don't.
I know.
And that's why when he was here the other day, when I Sanders said when he was in Washington, we got to get this. What you mean we got to get this one? I'm going in. And Omar and all of them are saying it too. There's a danger. Dr. King did not believe in that kind of stuff. He believed in Jesus Christ.
Right. He died for his people.
And
he believed what he believed.
Yes, he did.
Died. We need more preachers. Stand up for Jesus Christ.
Because he know that you take this body, but you can't take my spirit and my soul. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to God. And for them to use Martin like they did, standing there with them socialists, I'm going to call them too, but I got to call Jesse first because I promised the man I would. Thank
love
you.
Love your daughter.
Love you, too. Thank you. God bless you, too. I'm running out of time, y'all, so I'm going to try to get this on. And y'all got, I've been letting everybody talk, but y'all ain't got but a few minutes this time, about 30 seconds. I'm going to try to get everybody in. My whole board is lit up. And I'm not going to talk. I'm going to let you talk unless you say something wrong. Zena.
Uh-oh, Miss Tillman, thank you. Listen, it's no way in the world I could vote for anybody who signed on with the union to find the best teachers first. Granted, there were some bad ones in there, but they fired us. I was just a sub teacher in 08, so they fired me. Now, what I'm hearing is that Brandon was working with the union and the board, and he's definitely signed on for it.
Thank you. I heard you. I got to go. Your 30 seconds. Thank you so much. See, black folks are scared to talk. That's what I'm giving y'all. Y'all can talk with me, whether you're with me or not. It don't matter. 30 seconds, everybody. Mama D, you just woke up. How you doing? You just woke up, girl.
Oh, good. Hallelujah. Greetings. Ezekiel 41-4 confirms the mountaintop vision. My first published work, Martin Luther King, The King of Men, was written April 4th, 1968, and it changed my life. I agree with Dr. King. He said sons of former slaves and former slave owners needed to get together and sit at the table of brotherhood, because I think we love America more than we hate each other.
That's right.
So my question is, March 13th, 1985, Harold Washington proclaimed April 4th.
You know you're going past the 30 seconds, but I'm going to let you go 10 more seconds.
Okay. After we gave him 2,000 signatures asking him to do that, we have got to live beyond April 4th. If we wear the color black and love on April 4th and show unity, and we can bridge some of this hateful relationship that's existing.
I got to go now, Mama D. Thank you so much. I thank you. You know I respect and love you, even though we fight. I can't take too many more calls here, Justin. How long is my song that I'm doing? I got to do my last thing to okay, I got to do my last thing to Dr. King. I'm going to give him that 5 minutes. I got to do that. I'm trying to see. Would you not, don't let them, when these lines get empty, don't let nobody else be able to call, because I got to get out of here. Reggie, 30 seconds.
This is Reggie. I feel optimistic about this election, as whereas I feel that black people are going to win either way, the way Brandon and Vallis have been fighting over these endorsements. Emile Jones, Jesse White, they didn't endorse Vallis for nothing. They endorsed him for something.
Well, all I got to do is put folks talk. Okay, thank you so much. Folks, how about the old school? Old school brought more stuff to us than these so-called folks down there just riding around, and they straight up, they ain't bringing us nothing. Emile Jones gave you Barack Obama. Don't y'all ever forget that. You wouldn't have had him had not been for Emile. David. David?
Hello.
Yes, David. Yes. 30 seconds.
Yes, Ms. Tillman, you are a dirty witch, a dirty Uncle Tom witch.
Okay,
that's
darling.
What you are. So,
I love you and I pray for you. You're part of that principality I'm talking about. See what I mean? It's that evil stuff. Because, you know, you don't go with me, you evil. That is so stupid. Thank you, baby. But you behind the mic. See, that's the difference. Okay. Can everybody see you? Minister Plump?
We on Yashalom.
You
yes,
got 30 seconds now. Use it the way you want to.
This is for Wynn, Brandon Wynn. We'll be meeting tomorrow at 2:30 to 4:30 at Lake Grove Village at 3515 South Cottage Grove. Call me at 312 to get in the building, 671-2773.
Okay.
God bless you. We love you.
I love you, too. We might be on different sides, but I love you. I love you. I love you, too. That's what we got to be understanding, y'all. We got to be somewhere else without hating each other. And this last call is, you got 30 seconds, Will. Thank you for calling. How you doing, Will?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
30 seconds. Really? You got 20 now.
Hold on now. You want to speak of that? In 1983, we had those people who were on a different side of Harold Washington. They called Harold Washington a socialist in 1983 as well. I've seen this tactic being used on us over the last 30 years. I look at the cabal that Vallis comes from. That's the daily cabal. And I look at my community, what happened to my community in the last 30 years. It was decimated.
Okay, I gotta go, Will. You should have woke up early. Okay,
I've been on the phone for an hour.
Well, I'm sorry. My board is lit up. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Will. I wish I had time to answer him, because I want to talk about that. But I don't have time. Monday, Come on, we got to play Nina Simone. I'm going to play that whole song. We got 5 minutes. And we won't play reparations today. We're going to go out with Nina Simone. Start playing it. Nina Simone, capture this. See, Dr. King and our movement, not just Dr. King, but our movement is being used for other folks' benefit. Our pain and their gain, and it's because most folks don't understand. I don't want to talk about Brandon nor Paul Vallis, but I also would like to say, you can bring it down low. You got it on? Okay, whatever you do, whoever you're going to vote for, you go out and you vote. But if you are with Brandon, you need to talk to him and tell him, stop these folks from sending out lies, because the more lies he sent out, the more the older people just kind of move back from him. Go vote. We went to, we was on Edmund Pettus Bridge because we wanted to have representation. We need to stop having, regardless of what color, whoever is representing us, we got to make sure they represent us. Vote whoever you want to. I just happen to know I'm not going to accept lies that you all might be saying. But Dr. King, this is really our holy day, y'all. Our leader was assassinated. He was assassinated because of the power. Dr. King loved, as Mama D said, he loved America. Folks who want to destroy America and destroy our country, they don't represent Dr. King. He was dreaming. I'm going out with this because I love that man, and I'm sure what he's all about. Come visit me at church tomorrow or look at it online. This is going out. Nina Simone, the great Nina Simone. This is what she wrote after Dr. King was sad. That's even fascinating. Take it out.
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
Love thy neighbor was his creed. Pain, humiliation, and death.
Mm-hmm.
He did not dread.
Mm-hmm. This is the real Dr. King, y'all.
Yes,
not all that stuff they doing. No hate. Mm-mm.
From his foes he would not hide.
That's right. And y'all gotta, don't use that. That's too sacred to you. Yeah. Some of the, don't use it. Don't use this moment, y'all. It's too sacred. And any of those who will use it, may God put his hands on you. Not take you away, but put his hands on you. It's too sacred. Come on, bring it on.
Tell your parents that better stop and think.
Yeah!
Because we're heading for the breakdown.
This is what's happening. Come on, Nina.
What's going to happen now that the King of Love is dead? Will the murders ever cease? Are they men? Are they beasts? What do people... What do they think?
This was the live version, y'all.
Will your nation stand or fall?
Yeah!
Is it too late for us all?
Woo!
And did Martin Luther King just die in vain?
The way these folks are acting, maybe.
You know,
but no.
He was far.
Yeah!
Equality for all. You and me, full of love and goodwill. Hate was not his way.
No.
He was not a violent man.
No, he wasn't, and he loved America.
So tell me, honey, tell me if you can.
Come on, Nina.
Just why was he shot down the other day?
Yeah. Sacred moment, a sacred week, y'all, for Christians.
It was prejudice. It was hate. Bigotry sealed his fate. Go on, cry, cry. Your tears won't change a thing.
This moment is too sacred to mess over it.
Will my country ever love? Must it kill at every turn?
This is not the original song, y'all. This is live. I used to play the original. That's all right. I want y'all to hear. Yeah.
too sacred to prostitute it, y'all. Yeah. Stop and think. Y'all next week, what's going to happen now is the King of Love is dead. I play the other one every year, but I want y'all to hear this one this year. Do not prostitute this sacred moment. None of y'all, whether you're running for any office or being anything else, or whether you're a minister, because God is watching and God is real. Dr. King gave his life for us just as Jesus. This is a very sacred week. This is a holy week for Christians, and Dr. King got taken out on Holy Week. Next week, I will read what Bevel wrote for Dr. King. Until next week, y'all. Dorothy Wright Tillman telling you, go vote. Love each other. Remember the principles of nonviolence. The third principle of nonviolence is as you fight, you don't fight, then you know, you to get the justice, you just can't just fight people if you want justice. And you got to get the last principle, the last step of nonviolence, which is reconciliation. I love y'all. See y'all next week.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I'm Brandon Johnson. As a husband, dad, teacher, and county commissioner, I know firsthand.